This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Oh, and welcome back to 7-5 Radio. I'm Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew. How are we doing today, Walter?
I just happened to be in the area, so I figured I'd knock on the door.
Say again, Walt.
I said, I just happened to be in the area this week. I knocked on the door, and you guys let me in finally.
Yeah, finally.
Locked. I was locked
well,
in.
Well, I understand.
People think I was getting cornrows and my nails done. I got my nails done, but the only way for me to get cornrows is if you have a magic marker and write them on my head.
I guess you're follically challenged.
Yeah, very, very well. Well, no, I shave more than I don't have. How about that? Does that make sense?
Yeah. But anyways, enough of our jokes. It's been Halloween this week. Walt, how's your Halloween?
It was wet and rainy. But it was a typical Halloween. The leaves started to fall yesterday. And, you know, when the leaves fall, it's fall. We changed the clocks this weekend. So, it's really going to feel like fall. And down here in the middle south, the leaves changing right now. I mean, I'm looking out the window here at Southern Tennessee radio studios, and my front tree that was green on Monday is now all yellow and kind of orange. So it happened real quick. Yeah, I like the fall, but I wish fall could end and go right into spring and leave that
right.
Little winter alone, even though we don't get much of a winter down here. It's just wet and mushy.
Right. Well, the same thing up here, but my folks who live in upstate New York, the trees are already bare, and they already had snow in October. But anyways, yeah. I had a very interesting Halloween. It was a case of Beauty and the Beast. I brought my two little ones and my 44-year-old with me to do trick-or-treating. The parents, they get dressed up in costume. My wife and I, we look like two hobos, even though we were not wearing costumes. But anyways.
I agree.
Anyways, we go to this one house where this family, they really do it up. It looks like something from an amusement park or one of those haunted houses you pay money to get into. They do they got everything up, lights and decorations and music. And so my kids ring the doorbell. And the lady of the house came out looking like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. Luckily, I was right there, and I was like, hello. And so that was a very nice surprise. But then later, my daughter's best friend, her father, came over to go trick-or-treating with the kids. The parents split up. And the father is going through some sort of change. He's had two kids, and he was born a male. Now he lives like a female. I don't know if he's had anything taken off or put on, but this guy looked like just a hot mess. He was not in costume. I still call him a he because he looks like a dude trying to dress up as a female. It's a bad case of Tropic Thunder, and it is just a mess. My wife's looking at me just giggling because I'm just staring at this thing going, man, what, you know, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. But it does have a good job in IT field, thankfully, not to work in frontline and customer service. But anyways, that was my Halloween in a nutshell. And my kids got bags and bags and bags of candy. But anyways, Walt, let's get down to brass tacks. Let's start off with the news. and violent rhetoric. Now, the media has gone in overdrive all day, all night, every day to talk about, quote-unquote, violent rhetoric. And what they're trying to do is blame Trump on the fake mail bomber and the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter and any other act of violence and talks of act of violence and violence, violence, violence. It's all Trump's fault. Nothing. Everything that's wrong with the country, it's all it all happened on January 20th, 2017. But what the media doesn't talk about is the actual violence. You got Antifa out there assaulting people. You have the mess in Charlottesville last year. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Charlottesville is that when those people went out there, they went out Friday night. They went out there. They no announcements, no nothing. They went out there with little tiki torches from Bed Bath and Beyond, and did the little march. Nothing happened. But then the next day, where they had the permits and all the new media was there, the political cesspool was there, I was there, and all hell broke loose. And those people were ready to defend themselves, which they did. And then you had that nut job, that kid taking his Dodge Challenger and mowing those people down. Now, I said I call shenanigans on that one, because what 19, 20, 21-year-old kids going to take his hot rod you pay good money for and wreck it? Plus, the way that car backed out of there was very, very professionally done. Like he took a emergency vehicle operational course or evac course.
At Floyd Mayweather Field, the driving course, right?
No, I mean the guy. I mean the kid allegedly came down, ran all the people in, crashed his car, then he threw it in reverse and backed out of there like a Secret Service agent. And I don't know about you, but if I did something like that, I don't know if you even put that car in reverse, but the car went down, smashed, ran over that poor little woman, and then backed out and walked, backed out like he was a Secret Service agent backing out the presidential limo. But anyways, the media's all over Trump about the violent rhetoric. But, again, they don't bother reporting Antifa tearing up D.C. And, of course, nothing got – when D.C. PD decided to arrest somebody, all charges were dropped. They were very lexic days ago. D.C. police is not, you know, one of my favorite agencies. So, of course, the only people to defend Trump supporters were other Trump supporters, namely Bikers for Trump. But also, you don't hear anything for Kathy Griffin and her stupid Trump head until she got fired. Snoop Dogg, his stupid video. Alec Baldwin saying things about that president. Maxine Waters saying go get people's face and do stuff. All of social media saying, go do violence. And we're coming on the first break. That was quick. All right, we'll finish this violent rhetoric conversation shortly, and we'll talk about Don the Idiot Lemon. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we're back. 7-5 Radio. I just love the bump of music. But anyways, back to violent rhetoric. Talking to all these Hollywood idiots, Kathy Griffin, Snoop Dogg, Alec Baldwin. Talk about violent rhetoric, do things against Trump, which is itself a federal crime. And then we have Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama, during the last midterms or the last election cycle, was talking about going out and getting people's face and raising ruckus at the holiday dinner table. And also, he started the war on police with way back when, with the Cambridge police officer was acting stupidly. He also said that if he had a son, he looked like Trayvon Martin. He also had issues Ferguson when Officer Wilson, Darren Wilson, drew his weapon and shot and killed Professor Mike Brown in self-defense. And he all but gave Black Lives Matter a free pass when he had him at the White House. And then you had Officer Lewin Ramos shot and killed in the RMP of on Saturday, December 20th, 2014. You had cops shot and killed in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yeah, and I saw had five Dallas area cops shot and killed on live television. What do you make of this quote-unquote violent rhetoric coming from the media?
Well, you know, it's always been out there. You know, they always talk smack and throw mud at each other. It used to be called mudslinging. Remember those days, mudslinging? Now it's violent rhetoric. Right. And it's getting more pronounced as time goes by. You know, I'm going to use that Maxine person as an example. She, she just goes right out in the street and she's antagonizing the Republicans by using the people on the left to get in their face, get in their restaurants, you know, talk to them, yell at them, scream at them. You know, she's trying to make these people stronger than what they really are. And, you know, she's empowering this violence. And it's going to go from verbal, it's going to get physical. And there's going to be people that are going to be serving time for assaulting other people just because it is moron. We have other people like her that we never see that are doing this in their county squares and in their town hall meetings if there's a town hall meeting, somebody's getting up and saying something stupid. Whether it's a Democrat or a Republican meeting, there's some Democrat getting in the the board's faces on how wrong they are, on how bad they are. But Maxine just is, she needs to be put in her place. And I don't know how that can be done. You know, you got freedom of speech. All right. But freedom of speech is limited, and people don't seem to realize that. Freedom of speech does not include yelling at me while I'm having my dinner because I'm a Republican and you're a left-wing
jerk.
You know what I mean? I almost said that bad word again. And it's just wrong. You know, what, a month or two ago, we had that that little kid who was under 18. He was wearing a MAGA hat, and some guy came over and smacked him and took his hat.
At Starbucks.
Yeah, that's happening all the time now. People are getting smacked in the face, getting punched, getting their hats taken off, you know, getting their windows broken because they got a Trump bumper sticker on there or a local Republican supporter. They're getting their windows broke, their tires slashed. It's ridiculous. Anybody who does that, you know, it's worse. It's getting worse than those hackers that used to hack people's accounts, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Everybody was having issues with people hacking in their computers, and that kind of like died out. You don't hear much of that, but what you're hearing is this violent, antagonistic rhetoric. That's not what this country is about. Holy cow, we got to get back to basics here. You know, our country is about freedom and justice. In the American way, I might be promoting Superman, but that's the way it is.
Right.
What is Maxine going to do when these people try to cross the borders down in Texas? Probably sometime late next week. They're going to be pretty darn close by then, aren't they? And when they start moving in, I mean, you know, you see the trail of trash that they've left. It's like that. That vortex in the Pacific Ocean where all the garbage collects because of the, you know, right. The way it spins out. And where are these people going to the bathroom? I don't see any porta potties out there.
Right. And I mean, God knows what's going on. Last week I said, if you have 300 people show up at a rest stop off of the interstate, show up at once to use the facilities, guess what? It's a wrap because they're going to run out of toilet paper. They're going to have plumbing issues because you get you're going to have no water pressure coming in because the sinks and toilets, whatever, will also be going. And then things are going to be clogged because it's just overuse. And it's going to disrupt the sewer system. And people don't realize that you get 15,000 people anywhere that have no language skills, no job skills, no money. You got to feed, clothe, shelter. Give a medication, it's going to be a burden on everybody, but they do not see that. And thank God Trump is sending, he's talking about sending up to 15,000 troops, active duty troops, or National Guard troops, down to the border, and we need it. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Maxine Waters, they're not going to say, oh, put these people in I'll put these people up in my house or in my neighborhood. No, they want the government to take care of them or put them in your neighborhood or my neighborhood. Well, not my neighborhood, because what's funny, there's no the county I live in, there's no housing projects, there's no refugee center, there's nothing for these people, and they're not building these low-income housing for poor people or this stupid HUD program where they take lowlifes from the inner city and put them in middle-class suburban neighborhoods. They have none of that going here. I wonder why, but anyways, it's again, it's the media's fault. It's always been the media's fault, and you know what? The reason why there's not a shooting war is because we have the guns. I mean, we have more. We have a gun for every man, woman, and child in America, and about, no kidding, a billion. That's with a B, billion rounds of ammunition. And so while these people are protesting and throwing eggs and punching us, guess what? We're at the range practicing. Now, we're not advocating violence whatsoever, but we are huge defenders of self-defense or self-preservation. That's why back in 2015 in the cesspool, we defended George Zimmerman for self-defense because he saw something, called the police. He's giving the police an update, and then the subject, who was Trayvon Martin, turned around and started assaulting him. So, fearing for his safety, Zimmerman drew his licensed pistol and shot Trayvon Martin in the chest. But anyways, next subject I want to talk about is the U.S. Postal Service. Now, I am not a fan of the U.S. Postal Service. It's supposed to be a self-sufficient agency. It's not. Amazon they're getting a huge subsidy from the Postal Service for using the Postal Service for their products, which means it costs a dollar to ship something from point A to point B. They're paying about 75 cents, and it's costing us more money. And the Postal Service has always been inefficient, bureaucratic, slow. You go to an average post office, it looks like a lobby of a housing project. And it has gotten worse. Meanwhile, private industry came out with emails. You have UPS, Federal Express. You have DHL, which is the German Postal Service. The German Postal Service is in doing package delivery. And we're coming on our second break. All right. Just as I get in a roll, we're going to a break. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the U.S. Postal Service and the midterm elections.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
All right, we're back with 7-5 Radio, talking about the U.S. Postal Service. For years, it's just been an absolute money loser, just like Amtrak. But I've noticed things have gotten even worse. The mail's coming later and later and later, if not at all. The losing packages. I used to work for UPS part-time, and it's, you know, these things happen. You're not going to get every single piece of letter, but, you know, they try to get your packages. But now the people coming delivering mail, the trucks coming in, they're all dirty, beat up, worn out. I'm not saying we need to get Cadillacs, but I mean, if they're going to use a government vehicle, have it in some sort of decent shape. You know, maybe put run it through a car wash, you know, once a year. And then the people that's operating these mail trucks, they are just look like absolute slobs. None of them were wearing uniforms. This gentleman came by. He's wearing a T-shirt and a pair of gym shorts. I thought he was about to pick up a game of 3-on-3. And he's delivering mail. And his ID, the only thing that I would say is would distinguish him, an employee of the U.S. Postal Service, is the his ID card hanging around his neck. Now, this guy came to my door and said he had a package that needed to be my signature. I wouldn't let him in. You know, and you know, bad things might be happening, but, you know, just a lack of standards, and that's just bad operation of the Postal Service. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to wear the Class A's in the Postal Service, but, I mean, if you remember back in the day, they had uniforms, and the perfect example of a postal employee was Cliff Clavin from the character from Cheers. Unfortunately for him, he was at the bar drinking alcohol in uniform, which is not a good example. But again, he's just a fictional character. But I thought it was just embarrassing for the Postal Service. They got these just absolute slobs and degenerates just walking around wearing whatever they want and doing whatever they want. Well, what's your opinion of the Postal Service current day?
Well, you're right. You know, going into a post office these days is like walking into, you know, the vestibule of a housing project. And some of the people that are in there, you know, are pretty much from the housing project. The, you know, some they could be helpful. But you know what I noticed about, you know, some of the men and ladies that do work behind the counter there, their fingers are like filthy. I mean, you know, they're handling money and then they're passing out stamps. And stamps that you're going to lick, if you still buy the ones that you got to lick. I like to buy the ones that are already licked, but you're right about the professionalism isn't there anymore. You know, it's kind of like everywhere you go, any post office you go, it's like going into somebody that just woke up and put on their shirt and came out front to greet you, you know, like a middle of the night hotel. And it's not a pleasant experience every time you go. I've used the U.S. Postal Service. I mail out T-shirts and stuff like that, cigars to certain people. And it's not like it used to be when I was a kid. And, you know, I disagree with you about wearing the Class A's. If you're representing the United States government and you're on duty, you need to be dressed. And you need to be dressed neatly, not just take the shirt out of the washing machine and put it on, or the dryer and put it on. You know, as you and I, both former police officers, you had to wear that uniform every day. You couldn't just get into your radio car. You couldn't get into your R&B in your flannel shirt and just flash your shield. You know, if you were a uniform cop, you wore your uniform. If you're a uniform member of the service, whether it's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, and you're on duty, even when you're off duty, you should wear your, you know, when you're traveling, I mean, you know, wear your uniform.
For GIs traveling over, especially overseas, they do not want you wearing your any uniform item that will distinguish you as a member of the military. However, when a boat pulls into a port and they lower the brow and you see a whole bunch of guys with high and tight haircuts, ball bearings on a string and iron khaki pants and Nike sneakers. Yeah, they're and they're all skinny. Pretty good chance that they're military.
They're a service member, you know. But right, you know, the post office is like where Domino's Pizza used to be about 10, 12 years ago. Nobody was going there. The places were dumps. You know, the pizza tasted like crap. And not that I know what crap tastes like. It just didn't taste like pizza to me. So, people stopped going to Domino's. And what did they do? They pulled out, the sledgehammers? Remember those commercials with the sledgehammers?
Yep.
I'd like to see the Postal Service do that to some of their places, some of their post offices. Take the sledgehammers out and get some fresh stuff. The counters are all worn out. The counters got grime on them. The laminate, the formica is coming back. But apparently not in the U.S. Post Office, because what is there is peeling off because it's been there for the past 35 years and nobody's ever maintained it. The floors are filthy. The Post Office is not a good experience these days. I agree with you 100%. And the stamps are way too damn much. Who in the world, okay, you buy a forever stamp? Who keeps that stupid stamp for 35 years so they can save 50 cents?
Well, that's why they sell forever stamps. So, you know, people who buy a lot of stamps and mail a lot of correspondence, they buy them in bulk and save them. So when the post office raises their prices, guess what? They charge them they pay the other price also. So when you buy a lot of the forever stamps, I mean, think about it. Before, they had prices of the stamps, you know, 18 cent, 19 cent, 21 cent, 25 cent. But the post office raises their prices so often, so fast, that they just call it a forever stamp because it don't matter what the price is. So the post office saves a little bit of money on printing. And they don't have to throw out all these stamps because of the forever stamps, because they're forever going to be raising their prices. But you're absolutely right.
If you have the older stamps, the ones with the prices on them, and, you know, just I don't even know what postage is these days. I have no idea. Let's just say, for argument's sake, postage goes up to 75 cents to mail a letter, standard size envelope. And, you know, you got all these old stamps, like you said, you know, 25 cent, 30 cent, 44 stamp, 44 cents. You got to, do the arithmetic and put them on the envelope so it makes sure you get through to where you want it to go. I don't think that forever stamps are, how should I say, I don't think they're beneficial. If I got a 13 cent stamp back from 1967 and never used it, that should be a forever stamp. Put it on an envelope and mail it out. I think it should be like grandfathered in, you know what I mean?
Right.
I already spent the money on this stamp to send an envelope, even though it ain't 1967 anymore, but that stamp should be as good as gold today, all by itself, without the forever. And you're right, they raise the prices too often. You know, 1 cent, 2 cent, 3 cent. Man, if you're going to make it, you know, if you're going to raise the price, just raise it up and then don't change the price for 15 years. You know, just
right,
deal with it, man.
Don't nickel and dime us. That's what any government does, local, state, federal. They just nickel and dime us. But anyways, let's talk about our favorite dolt, Don Lemon. Now, Don Lemon is an individual who's on the cable news network, who has tens of viewers, that reads what his bosses tell him to read. But he really stepped in it this time. Early this week, he said he was going to be on the air talking about the Pittsburgh murders. And Lemon actually said the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized to the right. And now this is coming from a black man who makes whoopee with a white man. But you know what? You know, we'll give Don his Timothy McVeigh, Dylan Roof, Stephen Paddock, the guy who shot up the Mandalay Bay, and Robert Powers, that idiot in Pittsburgh who shot up the poor old people in the synagogue. But everybody on the right immediately condemns the actions and shuns them. I mean, we called for the immediate execution of Dylan Roof when that happened. But then there's Jared Loeffner. He's a Democrat. James Holm in Colorado. He's a Democrat. Then there are the non-whites. If you remember 1993, the first World Trade Center bombing in New York. Then the attack on the USS Cole. 9/11, the attack on the Pulse nightclub, the attack at San Bernardino, and then Ismael Brinsley, who shot and killed Wenjin Liu and Rafael Ramos in December 2014. Then the Tennessee military recruiting office shooting. Then or Fort Hood or the Home Depot truck running over people in Lower Manhattan. And then you have the non-whites killing countless law enforcement officers. And urban crime. And then the millions of children of color that was murdered in abortion. But when we get back, we'll talk about the midterms and birthright citizenship. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walt and Scoop.
And we're back. Donald Trump struck another nerve this week, thankfully, talking about birthright citizenships. Now, when our founding fathers wrote the Constitution and established our current form of government, they thought anybody that was born within the shores of the United States and or its territories and military installations would be a U.S. citizen because mom and or dad was a U.S. citizen. But that's not the case anymore. You have parents or mothers sneaking into the country, flying into the country, taking a vacation in the U.S., so their child would be born in the United States, so they would get instant citizenship. Yep. So then that that's the start of daisy chain migration. Now, a daisy chain is you got a whole bunch of handcuffs on a big long piece of chain, so you're moving a bunch of prisoners from point A to point B. So he wants to end birthright citizenship. He thinks he can do it with the executive order, but other people say differently. But of course, the left is in overdrive howling because of birthright citizenship. Well, what's your take on birthright citizenship?
Well, you know,
and the idea of pulling it.
When I learned about the Constitution, like everybody else, like in the fourth and fifth grade, you know, I didn't understand what that was. My grandparents came over, you know, in the 19-teens, and after World War One, and they did it the right way, I guess. So the only way that the only mechanism that was offered was, you know, Ellis Island, you know, they got their name, and I don't know how they became American citizens. I don't know how my grandparents did, but they did, and you know, they came here and they worked hard. But, you know, I don't like the idea. And once I've learned about what it was, you know, as I got older, you know, I didn't like it much of people just coming here to have babies to become citizens. You know, and I'm talking about in the late 60s, people were coming over, not in droves, but they were still getting here. And they were becoming naturalized citizens because they were pregnant, busting out babies. And the welfare program started, and the more babies you had, the more money you got. And more people came over, When you have these people coming in now, how many of these people in this caravan are pregnant, number one? Number two, why did we do this to begin with? You know, in the Constitution many, many years ago, you know, 200 years ago, 250 years ago, when this was put into the Constitution. It just doesn't make any sense these days. It doesn't make any sense. It needs to be revamped, rewritten, but you know how long that's going to take? Scoop, how long do you think that would take to revamp that that amendment?
It would take just the amendment itself. You have to have a constitutional convention. I believe two-thirds would have to, of the individual states would have to approve it. In terms of in Congress, it would probably die immediately. Because Koch brothers, they love daisy chain migration and illegal immigrants coming in because they get it's cheap labor for them, and other people they don't, you know.
It would take for freaking ever to change that law. So, with the 14,000 to 15,000 troops that are going to be guarding our border starting this week, it's going to be a show of force. Like, you know, when you were on the street and you called for an RMP for a show of force, it wasn't an emergency. You're showing force, but you prepared for an emergency because you have the backup. Now, not only that, Mr. Trump has already said out loud about Guatemala and Honduras. You know, he's going to cut aid if they keep allowing their citizens to leave. And these people want to leave because they're repressed or they're treated badly or they're beaten or their families disappear. But yet they're carrying the flags and waving them around, you know, the Honduran flag and the Guatemalan flag and the Mexican flag, you know. And that's fine. You want to be proud of your country, stay there if you want to fly their flag. Don't come here and fly it. We got, you know, two flags here. You know, we have the Stars and Stripes and the Stars and Bars. And I know that's for James. We have the Stars and Stripes and the Stars and Bars. And that's all that should be flying in this country.
Right.
Foreign country should be like third down. These people want to put it at the top. They want to put it at the top of the flagpole. And that is not what America is about. That's not what our revolutionaries fought for, World War One, World War Two, and every war in between. So these people can come here and crap all over it and get a free ride. I said, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago on a show that I'm going to go to Mexico, become a citizen, come here, and get all the free stuff. Because
right,
now I'm paying for free stuff.
Right. And you know what? These people hate our customs, norms, traditions, our way of life, our government. But they love our welfare system. Come in, you don't speak the language, we'll give you a place to live. We'll feed you, we'll feed your kids. You get sick, we'll get you you can go to the hospital, get a free checkup, free aspirin. Now if you're going to college because you've been here for 18 years, your kids can get in-state tuition even though they were born out of state and shouldn't be in your state to begin with. And, you know, that's why people at Trump rallies, they're screaming at him, build the wall. I mean, Trump's no dummy. He wants to get that wall built, and he's fighting with Congress. Again, Congress, they have a hands-off approach because they don't want to be seen as a right-wing nut because they want to build walls on the border. But Israel has a huge wall, and it's beautiful, and you know, nobody's crying about Israel and their wall because, you know, every politician is the best friend of Israel, and Israel can do whatever Israel wants, and, you know, people will lay their life down for Israel before the United States, I think. But they have a beautiful wall, and it works. And I say, good, let Israel protect themselves because everybody has a right to self-preservation, including our countries. But anyways, they want to come in.
We have a perfect example of how a wall can keep out the vermin. Graceland. Graceland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They built a wall around Elvis Presley's home. Remember, you know, in the old Super 8s? Well, maybe you don't remember. Where they filmed Elvis driving in and out, you know, in his Cadillac, you know. And it was just right. A little gate, you know. They built a wall. Now, I've done the Graceland thing, and the wall on the outside is a mess. You know, there's bubble gum and graffiti and things I don't want to mention that are probably smeared on the wall. But on the inside, it's beautiful. Okay, right. We're not building a wall around the United States. We're building a wall around the southern border. This way we can limit the foot traffic coming in. And it's a beautiful thing, the wall. We could start building prisons down there along the border. Did you ever see anybody jump over the wall at Attica, you know, or Auburn?
No, or Sing Sing.
Yeah, nobody gets over those walls. So let's build all the prisons, you know, around, you know, Texas, New Mexico, all the way into, you know, Southern California. And in between, you have army bases. You know, put some army bases down there. You know, there's so many things that can happen. Let's just get it done. Let's make a foolproof border that we can control with an entrance door and, of course, an exit door. You know, it's like it would be like going into jail and getting out of jail. You know, we can let them in when we want to, and we can kick them out when we have to. And you close the door behind them, and the door is shut, period, end of story. You know, get these how about this? How about we hire all these guys that are coming up here in that caravan to build the wall? And then when we're done, just throw them over the top, throw them back over the other side. Not paying.
Yeah. Yeah. All right,
that was my rant.
Yeah.
That was my rant.
Very good one, Walt. But that's why we all need to, this Tuesday, we need to go out and vote. I don't think there's a blue wave coming. I think barely a blue splash. But anyways, go out there and vote. Either you can have prosperity, pride, a strong military, deregulation of government regulation to get the government off your back. You
let
can have
Mr. Stanton, let me ask you a question. After all these elections and all the nonsense that the Democrats and Republicans both put forth to get people out to vote, why is it always so damn close? Why is there 51 in the Senate as opposed to 49? You know, why is it so close? How come it's not like it was in the 80s, you know, when it was 75% Republican, or in the 70s, 75% Democrat? Why is it so close these days? We're always one candidate shy or one candidate for whatever our country is looking for. Well,
because
that's
the question. It's first of all, it's it's a rotten candidates because, you know, people from both parties suck. And secondly, it's the media manipulation. They're doing everything they can to trash the opponent they do not like. But anyways, Walt, that's it for 7-5 Radio on this first week of November. I'm Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew. See you next week, everybody. Be safe. Shoot straight.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.